My name is Farid Omar, and I'd also like to thank first the organizers for giving us this opportunity, and also for all of you for coming here and expressing support. We'll be focusing on the conflict in the Horn of African region, which is one of the most volatile regions in the continent. When I talk about the Horn of Africa, I mean Somalia, Ethiopia, Eritrea, and Djibouti. And sometimes Sudan is included as part of the Greater Horn of Africa. But I'll specifically focus on Somalia, Ethiopia, and Eritrea. Conflict in Horn of Africa is very complex. It's a combination of interstate conflicts and intrastate conflicts. It involves, on one hand, territorial disputes, the territorial wars between nations, for example, Eritrea and Ethiopia, and Somalia and Ethiopia, and also intrastate conflicts, civil wars within particular states. There is a civil war going on in Ethiopia, the civil war going on in Somalia as well. And it's also largely in part due to the imperialist legacy. Somalia, for example, was carved up into five different territories during the colonial era, and there was southern Somalia, what was usually called Italian Somaliland, and then there was northern Somalia, which is called British Somaliland, and then there was French Somaliland, which is today called Djibouti, and then there was western Somalia, which is called Ogaden, and is a Somali-speaking province in Ethiopia, which was carved up to become part of Ethiopia. And then there was northeastern Kenya, what was called NFD, also a Somali-speaking province in Kenya, which was annexed to Kenya by the British. And in Ethiopia, the colonialists in Eritrea, the Italians, when they left, they annexed that territory to Ethiopia. And there was a civil war which lasted 30 years, and Eritrea was able to become independent in 1991. But the story didn't end there, because there was still a piece of territory under dispute. And 2 years ago, again, Ethiopia and Eritrea went into war, and resulting in the deaths of thousands of people. And in 1978, Somalia fought a border war with Ethiopia, invaded Ogaden region in Ethiopia, and recovered much of the land. But with the help of the Soviets and the Cubans, Somalis were driven back. And back in 1967, Somali insurgents in Kenya tried to secede from Kenya, and there was a secessionist war in the northeastern province. But it was defeated by the Kenyan forces with the help of the British forces. So the dynamics always change, and the situation was made more potentially more dangerous by Cold War effects. During the Cold War, initially, Somalia was first a client of the West during the civilian war the civilian regime between 1960 and 1969. And then there was a military takeover when the Somali Prime Minister Abdulrashid Sharmake was assassinated, and the Marxist regime of Siad Barre came into power, and Somalia became a Soviet client. And then in Ethiopia, at that time, it was still during the reign of Emperor Haile Selassie, it was a Western client, allied closely to the United States. But in 1974, there was a Marxist coup, and then there was a realignment. Ethiopia became a Soviet client. So both superpowers tried to beef up each country, to increase their influence. The West wanted to have its capitalist influence in the region, as well as the Soviet camp wanted the Marxist communist influence in the region. So Ethiopia and Somalia were armed very heavily during the first Ethiopia by the West and then by the Marxists. And Somalia in 1979, Somalia went into war with Ethiopia in 1978. And at that time, 77-78, both were Soviet clients. But because the Soviets decided to side with Ethiopia, then Somalia switched camp to the American side, to the Western camp. So those dynamics, Cold War effects, created more tension and more confusion. And we had a lot of, so the, one of the biggest arms proliferation in the continent took place in the Horn of Africa. There was arms built up in Ethiopia and in Somalia. Somalia planning to reinvade probably Ethiopia to recover land. Ethiopia arming heavily to prevent secession struggle in Eritrea. Also, Ethiopia fighting insurgents within the Oromo Liberation Front, Ogaden National Liberation Front, the Western Somalia National Liberation Front. So they had to rely on massive arms shipments, initially from the West and then later from the Soviet Union. And what this had a very serious impact on Somalia, the superpower involvement, the realignment, and the superpower game. First of all, the Horn of Africa is strategically very important, especially Somalia. It has geopolitical interests because it lies at the confluence of the Indian Ocean, Gulf of Aden, and the Red Sea. You have the town of Saila in northern Somalia, which is on the Red Sea, and then we have the city of Berbera in the northeast, which lies on the Gulf of Aden. And a few hundred kilometers south, you have the city of Bosaso, which lies in the Indian Ocean. So it lies in the old route. Both the Soviet and the Americans had fought hard to maintain imperialist domination in that area because of its geopolitical significance. Also, the Horn of Africa is strategically located in the sense that it is closer to the Middle East. So especially the United States at the current moment sees the geopolitical importance in the region in terms of keeping a close watch on Sudan and the Middle East at large. I've said that the superpower alignment had serious impact on Somalia. And a lot of people don't know that when we talk about state collapse in Somalia, we only look at the clan dynamics that clans fought their way to a stalemate and then the state collapsed. But the superpower involvement and the superpower influence in that region contributed to state collapse. During the Soviet era, there was brutal repression in Somalia, and the Siad Barre government used divide and conquer tactics with the help of the Soviets to contain opposition. And when Somalia realigned with the West, with the Americans, there was also a civil war broke out in northern Somalia, and northern Somalia wanted to secede from Somalia. And the Americans had to rearm Siad Barre to ensure that Somalia, the northern Somalia doesn't secede. So, and the only tactic he used again is divide and conquer, to divide different sectors of the Somali society to effect dominant rule. So gradually it led to that process of state collapse. Another issue, especially specifically in Somalia, it also, apart from geopolitical interests, there's the politics of oil are involved. Geologists have confirmed that Somalia has massive oil and natural gas reserves, also uranium deposits. By 1990, the former dictator Siad Barre leased 2/3 of Somali territory to American oil companies, Conoco, Texaco, Amoco, Chevron, and Phillips. And they were to start exploration and drilling of the oil. But their plans were thwarted by the fact that the state collapsed because of the civil war. So the Americans had to go in, not just because of a humanitarian crisis, but to protect those oil interests, because the warlords who came after Siad Barre were inhospitable to capitalist interests of the United States. So one of the reasons was to protect those oil interests, and that's why the Americans went in. And it was not a humanitarian intervention, but in essence, it was an occupation in which it was a joint occupation by the United Nations forces and the United States troops, in which the U.S. was the principal occupier. And it was an occupation because atrocities were committed both by the U.S. troops and the United Nations forces. Those atrocities include rape, torture, and murder. Canadian, Belgian, Italian troops were involved. Also, the American troops killed a lot of civilians. During that occupation between January 1993 and October 1993, thousands of Somalis were killed, and this is part of the story you went here in the media. And in 1993, October in 1993, when the Black Hawk down helicopters were shot down and 18 elite American troops were killed, in that day alone, close to 3,000 Somalis were killed. So the area is potentially still, the security of the region is still potentially dangerous because the United States want to go back to reoccupy Somalia in the name of the war against terrorism. And an attack of Somalia is an attack on Africa. So the United States is essentially taking the so-called war of terrorism to Africa to reoccupy Somalia as a gateway to Africa and to lead to a process of demilitarization in the entire continent. And it will have serious security implications because, like in 1993, Somali insurgents said that they will respond to any American intervention in Somalia. And as a result, if the insurgents respond to the new planned reoccupation of Somalia, the U.S. will use indiscriminate use of force, and this will lead to civilian loss and also humanitarian loss in terms of refugees fleeing to Ethiopia and Kenya, and also insurgents, because Ethiopia and Kenya are being mobilized to prepare for the grand attack on Somalia and the aerial attack on Somalia, because Kenya has agreed to provide bases for the coalition. Ethiopia even has agreed to provide troops, so which will mean that insurgents in Somalia will hit back at Kenya and Ethiopia and stage cross border attacks in the event of a U.S. military intervention in the area. So just to sum up, the security situation in the Horn of Africa has always been volatile, and the Cold War dynamics and imperialism had contributed to that. And also the U.S. involvement, which began since 1990 and 93, and now the planned re-intervention and re-occupation of Somalia will also bring most serious security and humanitarian crisis. So we'll call upon people in the anti-war movement, anti-imperialist, people in the anti-globalization movement to move very fast and put more pressure for the West to stop its planned reoccupation in Somalia. There is no link between terrorists and Somalia. There is no evidence. Even United Nations officials on the ground in Somalia have confirmed that. Somalia has no links. So it's just a cover by the United States to re-intervene in Somalia, reoccupy Somalia, and as I've already mentioned, it will worsen the security and humanitarian situation there. Thank you.
Thank you.